When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In January of 2017, a UK resident and self-proclaimed ufologist known as John Mooner claimed to have discovered an extraordinary image captured by Google satellites. An image that depicts his own harrowing encounter with an alien abduction. Mooner, who has faced skepticism in the past, explained that the image revealed a green glow emanating from the alien ship as it tried to beam him aboard. Also, the images captured by satellite purportedly showed his desperate struggle fighting back against the extraterrestrial intruder with punches to the face. While often alien abductions are events characterized by the overwhelming feeling of helplessness by some, others have claimed to have given themselves a fighting chance against some of these interstellar invaders. This case file joined the theorists as they jump in the ring and take on alien aggressors from parts unknown in Alien Fistfights.
Welcome to Alien Theorists Theorizing, Case File 278, When Good Encounters Go Bad.
Yeah, it's good enough.
When aliens attack.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
Or when we attack.
Your host, Tom Bergeron.
Did Tom Bergeron host When Animals Attack?
I don't know. He'd be pretty goofy if he did, I feel like. He'd be like, ha, there's another pit bull attack. Look at that. Alien Street Beefs.
That's a good one, too.
Square up and settle it like men. Or yeah, aliens. Or both.
It's a funny thing because it's like, of all the encounters, you know, we all talk a big game, right? And it's, you know, you're like, they're not taking me. But you don't hear of a lot of stories of people just being like, all right, welcome to Earth, and just throwing down with extraterrestrials.
No, you don't hear it. Not often.
Not really.
Like a
often.
Lot of, it's disproportionate amount of sexy time. You're more likely to get a sexy experience than a fist fight, fisticuffs with aliens.
Yeah, you're probably true. I think of those, yeah, I think of the one that we've done, probably only... Yeah, you know, one until like I can think of it as the one ATT Confidential we did. That was Stardust Ranch.
Oh, yeah. Samurai guy.
Stardust Ranch. He had like a fucking Hanzo Hattori blade or something.
Yeah, just, yeah.
And he was and I did we not do we do a confidential on that or do we full
yeah we
do
did full that's, yeah, that's what I just said.
Just said it.
Oh, did you say confidential? So yeah, go check that out. This guy basically just. It was like that scene from Kill Bill.
Yeah, it was Crazy 88, except it's aliens. Like, yeah, nuts.
Just aliens. And I don't even think they were attacking him. They were just trying to be like, whoa, no, let us get up the injured.
whoa, dude.
And he gets dusted. I like another one that I was thinking of where someone like actually was like fighting with them. It was like, I was thinking of that guy early on we did in a UFO case file of the week where he pulled out his gun in the air.
Oh, shoot it at the UFO? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, shoot.
Well, no, there's
UFO
Cisco Grove too.
Pilot.
There's Cisco Grove too as well.
Well, he didn't do shit though. He
shot
that
one with the fucking shotgun. He hawkeyed right. That dude. Fucking yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, but he used a projectile. You got to get in close. You got to get in close.
We did just talk about Kelly Hopkinsville where they were shooting at these things and pinging them like old circus. What we want to get to,
we like, have a lot of shooting ones. We have a lot
of shootings.
We also like, talked about Phil Schneider one
we're
time.
We're talking about extraterrestrial.
Remember Phil Schneider at Dulce Base?
Yes, he got his hand.
Yeah, but they got
his hand lasers.
Got shot by lasers.
Yeah, so I mean, so ask me. No, we never talk about when you get in close, up close.
Yeah.
Good old knockdown.
Now,
knockdown, fists, drag out.
Fists and knives. Now, that's what we're talking about.
First hypothetical I wanted to run past you guys before we get into this, sure. Before we get into some of these cases, was for me, hypothetical for you guys, how many, leave the technology out of it, how many little grays are you whooping until they get it, until they get you into the ship?
They have no mind control or anything?
No, nothing. They've decided they've come down this time. This is an old, ancient ways, small gray where they're like, no, we'll take them the old fashioned way, right? No tools, no technology.
So we're talking just the physique of a small gray, like no muscles, giant head.
Everything we know about them, yeah. And then just
3 foot, maybe 4 foot at the max.
Like between 8 and 10.
So it's like, it'd be like fighting a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah, between 8 and 10.
Something tells me that you could literally pull them in half. You know what I mean? Like when you hear, like I feel like a grown man, if like you got abducted by little grays, I feel like you could pull its arms off.
Like I feel like you'd have
to, you'd have to get the momentum going. But once they slowed you down, like if there were like six of them, like clinging onto your body and you're just like, you know, preventing you from moving a lot. Like, I feel like then you'd be in a bit of trouble, but that's why I say seven.
I don't think grays have any muscles, like barely enough, just enough to stand up.
Well, and
but
I
they
don't
can
think
pull you, like they can pull you inside.
No,
like.
They use mind. They use their mind or some type of tech.
I don't think they like, no, maybe it's something like, you know, like monkeys are small, but monkeys are strong. You know what I mean? Like
five times more powerful, pound for pound. Right?
So maybe it's like their muscles, they've shed like a lot of the water.
You ever seen a spider monkey? Those spider monkeys look like you could just like pull their arms up, but those
things
are
strong. They can hammer toss a toddler across the room.
Like a fucking gibbon. Like just walk up to you with those big, long, creepy arms and just be like, rip your head off.
Dan says 8 to 10. I think I could take out 20.
Well, I think you'd get tired
by like 11.
I say it fully depends on the skeletal structure of these things, because if like Zell said, they've evolved and it's not like super efficient muscle tone. It's just like
maybe they're
bodies.
Really dense.
I feel like you could punch through them. Like if you hit one in the head, its whole head would be like collapse in.
Well, their bones are made of lead or something, and they weigh like 200 pounds. And
we just don't know. They're so dense. Their tendons are are pretty much steel.
You like, don't break need your hand like trying to punch him in the head. Just like,
well, I guess that goes to what if all of a sudden you go to fight the gray, the little short gray? It's a android of some type. Yeah, non biological. It's just
the NBEs or whatever.
Pure robotic power.
Yeah,
then we're toast.
Well, Linda now says they're NBEs, says they're little robots.
Non-biological,
yeah. Yeah. He's saying that they're little robots.
Well, we always say that. It would make more sense that they're not like living flesh to travel through space or however they're getting here.
I mean, the thing is like, you'd have to like completely incapacitate them to like take them out. I feel like even if they're little robots, like you have to, and I feel like that would be tiring after like 8 or 9.
Knock their power supply out.
Well, I mean, if you got to like literally like stomp on their heads to like put them down, like I feel like you'd be tired by like 8 or 9, like just a little bit.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought, because most of the time of the abductions, it's like all of a sudden you see the light, you hear something, and then all of a sudden you wake up missing time, right? You don't find out what happened. They put like most of the time you're like the stories we heard there, you're like put into some sort of daze, right? So it's interesting to, and I would say this leads to the fact that perhaps they've had violent run-ins with humans in the past, because some humans would have a flight or fight mechanism, right? Where they're like, you come down and they're like, oh, it's go time. Like I'm fighting for my life. Right.
So like it'd be like any like biological creature. You'd just be worried about it, like freaking out or escaping or something like that.
And that's exactly the cases we were looking for tonight. Someone, instead of running away or paralyzed in fear, got in close. Yeah,
a couple of guys are going, what's good? What's good?
Well, yeah, the very first one that we're talking about, like, it's known as the Petare incident, which happened in 1954 on November 29th. Was this in Venezuela?
Early in the morning.
This case involved one Gustavo Gonzalez, a 25-year-old Cuban businessman who was living in Venezuela at the time, and also his assistant, Jose Ponce. And they were in Gustavo's van, apparently, around like 2 a.m. And they were driving to deliver some meat, to the meat processing plant near their thing. So, this early in the morning, they were not expecting to see the street that they were driving down close to where their destination was. They reported it being illuminated, like lit up, like it was 12 noon instead of 2 a.m. Oh. And they described as they kind of like poked their heads out and like looked at what seemed to be illuminating where the light source was. It was like they described seeing this like metallic luminous sphere that seemed to be about 2 to 4 meters in diameter, and then it was just hovering motionless above the street, just like a little tiny sun hanging up on there. So apparently Jose actually stepped out of the car to get closer and kind of get a better look at what this object was.
Well, and as you would, I mean, I think there's nothing reasonable but the sort of like, I feel like any one of us would do the same. Zell looks like he's staring into that orb right now. Look how bright his camera is.
So like you can kind of imagine, like it was bright enough probably to kind of like, you know, be partially blinding, I assume, because Jose, like he didn't kind of realize until like there was probably like pretty good, like coming out. Like, you know, I imagine like in one of the, you know, the kind of close encounters of the third kinds where you kind of have the, like the entities like walking out, you kind of see the shadow cast, like as they move in front of the light kind of. And he said that he saw this strange entity, this creature approaching him, and he ran. He's like bolted back to the car as soon as he saw this thing. Cause he could tell that this
runs away.
This, like, what is that? Like, what is that light? And then you kind of look down and you're like, holy fuck, what is that? Walking out in front of him. Now, they described later what this creature actually looked like. And they said,
fucking Ewok.
Kind of, yeah. It's
Freddy Krueger.
It seemed to be covered in what they assumed was like seemed to be stiff, dark hair. And it had these hands, which they said had like, what they could see were 4 long, lethal looking, dangerous looking claws. Didn't seem to have a nose, no mouth that they could identify, but they had these 2 big,
the old hair spacesuit.
I mean, I imagine the monster from the Bugs Bunny cartoons. I forget what his name is, but the big hairy monster, but like short little version. And he's only got, again, they've got no real nose, no real mouth, but he's got these 2 large, like dark
cat eyes.
Yeah. Cat, kind of partially illuminated reflecting eyes. And it didn't seem to be wearing any clothing, because I mean, why would you? You're all covered in hair, I guess. But it did have what they described as some sort of weird loincloth. And it definitely wasn't wearing any shoes. Didn't seem like that as well. So Gustavo, who had been in the car, also said that he saw the creature. And then it was outside of the vehicle, and he decided that he was going to grab this creature.
He's gonna test his metal somehow.
He's like, you know what? I'm going to grab. And I imagine during this, there's a conversation in that van where like Jose and Gustavo are, he's like, I'm going to get it. I'm going to grab this. And he's like, don't get it. He's like, watch it. Come on. I'm going to get it.
They're having that conversation. They see it's 3 feet tall. He's like, it's like fighting a 7-year-old. Go for it.
Yeah. This is like 100%. I'm sure, like, except in Spanish, like they'd be having a conversation like we would as ATT. Like if we ran into these creatures, just like trying to tell, so
you could
tell Brayden not to grab it. Like, no, don't do it. It's like, no, I'm going to get it. No, I'm going to get that fucker.
Yeah. I mean, I remember like, I've had this same conversation just with like porcupines. up north. We're like, I'm going to chase this little guy. And you're like, don't do it. It's a bad idea. And like, I'm still going to chase him. And you chase a little porcupine for fun.
That's something I never, chasing a porcupine for fun is not something I ever expected to really hear from anybody ever.
Well, you're not going to grab a porcupine, but like this thing,
I don't know why I chase a porcupine in the first place.
They run funny.
Okay.
And yeah, they're cute. You just want to chase it. But like this thing, it's like you come out of this, I could see the appeal of being like, there's some sort of glowing orb here. And there's this little kind of cute, maybe cute looking little thing. I'm like, well, if I think it came out of there, I'm 100%. Like if I could probably catch this thing and like, we're getting some money. Forget trucking. Forget the pork plant. Jose,
toss him in the back of the meat truck.
We're done. We're done with the pork game. We're going to be a traveling road show.
So Gustavo goes out and he wrapped, you know, he lunges at the creature, manages to wrap his arms around it and tries to drag it back.
No towel or nothing.
Nothing.
Going just, for it. Just,
I just imagine Gustavo just like ripping his sleeves off and just being like, rah! Like just Zangiefing it, like fucking coming at this creature. It just wraps his arms around it and manages to wrestle with it and then kind of get it, start dragging it back towards the back of the truck where I guess they were going to throw it in and, you know, whatever.
Sell them.
Sell it. I could display it. I don't know. Take it somewhere. But Gustavo reported that this creature was a lot stronger than he would have imagined for something of its stature. Like this tiny thing is like 100% all muscle apparently. And it managed to actually break free of his grasp. And it kind of like, he said it issued for like a brutal hit to him. Like, I mean, it just like came down probably with that fucking, just a
three button combo
forearm,
at least
a tiny little forearm. Yeah. And just like, whack, and then, put, both of them on the ground. I think they were both kind of like struggling with the creature and it put both of them on the ground.
And it sent Gonzalez flying a little bit.
You did not expect the strength of the strike.
He hit the ground hard, like bounced a little, like did a roll. Was like, we're in danger.
when he lifted it up, like I think Gustavo kind of recalled later, like the creature seemed to like weigh like disproportionate amount that you would imagine, like looking at it. He's like, it was much heavier than I thought it would be for something that size.
And it was, and the shitty thing is like, this story and this tale is obviously translated through a different language and, you know, metric and imperial system. So it's really hard to nail down an exact weight because sometimes it's 35 pounds, then it's 35 kilos. Sometimes it's 50 pounds, 50 kilos. And I'm like, those are big variations of weight for something little. But yeah, this thing, like as he picks it up, it's like a fucking DBZ move. Honestly, pick this thing up and this thing just punches you in the chest. Bang. It stays in the air and sends you like eating it to the ground. I'm like, that's like a fucking, just lands back on its feet, ready to.
Yeah, this thing like ninja flip backwards kind of, and then it made what they described as a feline jump at Gonzalez, and Gonzalez was like, and pulled out his fucking knife that he had. I guess they say it's a scout knife, so it, like I don't know if it's
a
pocket knife. Like, no, I don't know if it was a switchblade.
Come on. Yeah. To get it out that fast, he already had it. Didn't they say because their hands were like weapons? Like,
yeah, they said they already like they clocked like the claws on the end, like the ends of their hands. Like they look like whether those were attached to fingers or they were like just that was just what their appendages were that just ended in claws. They already said that they had seen those. So it had like, you know, these long claws at the very end that looked dangerous. So
I just thought when they had those claws and he struck them in the chest, I thought like he was going to get like shredded.
Now, if you look at this chart here, Gonzalez and Jose on the fuck around
and find out
were,
scale.
You know, probably getting close to 10. And they were, in fact, about to find out.
Yes.
They were on a perfect trajectory of finding out.
Yeah.
Of finding out right there. These poor decision-making skills.
It's a good graph. Accurate graph.
Yeah.
Gonzalez like whipped out this knife to try and stab this creature that was launching itself at him.
You know, it was a butterfly knife too. And he was like,
He's been waiting for this.
But as he tried to, you know, he tried to stab the creature, apparently, like, he aimed for the shoulder of the creature to stab it. And he said that the knife just kind of slid. It didn't penetrate anything. It just kind of slid off. And then he said, he kind of described as, like, it was something like you would expect with, like, he says, like, a rhino skin, but I'm like, has Gonzalez ever stabbed a rhino? Like, yeah. I'm like, like,
I've never.
How would you know what that is?
But I feel like, you know, I feel like the knife would go in. You know what I mean?
Like, or maybe Gonzalez is the guy who's like, I tried to stab a rhino one time, and this is exactly what it felt like. But
the only other thing is, I was like, man, this story could have taken a terrible turn. Like, I'd have to say he most likely was using some sort of fixed blade with a little bit of a hilt, because if you went to stab something with like a flip up knife,
oh yeah, your hand's gonna slide,
and you hit and that stopped and didn't go in with any kind of force, your hand is just gonna follow the hilt onto the blade and just like all your fingers. Woo! Ah!
Yeah, so it just kind of like this thing, like this, when this creature was still coming at him, like still you know, managing to attack him, he said that it actually had like these webbing between its hands, like, in addition to the four sharp claws that it was using to try and grab him, like it was trying to grapple with him,
like a flipper hand, like a web,
yeah,
like a, like,
yeah,
like a frog, like for almost like for water,
yeah, or like a bat, maybe, like, or maybe there's like skin web fingers between them, like that, or something like that. And then so, as he's struggling with this creature, you have Jose Ponce on like the other side of the vehicle on the right side.
Not helping at all.
Not helping.
If this was the era of smartphones, he'd be filming right now.
Oh yeah. He'd be the world star hip hop. Let's go.
Yeah, there we go. World star.
And so he's standing on the other side of the vehicle, and he says that suddenly another small hairy extraterrestrial emerged from the right side, and it was walking up this steep slope on the side of the road, and it seemed to be having like dirt clods or stone, or like small stones or something, like in its hands.
And it was not expecting to see him. Like, no. it came up like holding some like souvenirs from Earth, fucking doop doo 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 doop doo doo up the hill.
Hey guys, look what I got.
Fucking freezes. Sees Jose standing there in awestruck, turns, sees fucking Gustavo trying to shiv his buddy on the other side of the car, full on brawl going on. This guy fucking just cat leaps 3 meters in the air, backflips. He looks like Baby Groot, or no, sorry, Baby Yoda, or Grogu, whatever Grogu. His name is. Just Grogu's flips. In back into the spaceship. Just Grogu's disappears just in the light.
Well, yeah. See you later.
And Jose's standing there like, holy shit, thank God. And then just two come back out. Two are like, oh, it's go time. And one's got like a fucking Gandalf staff.
Yeah. They also noticed that the sphere that they have now, like it more resembled, like they realized it resembled more of a ship. It had like, it's what seemed to be like windows and like a hatch, like for access and whatever. And so, yeah, that creature jumped in, managed to access that hatch, go down inside of it. And then like seconds later, another entity, whether it's the same one or another one, came out, and it was armed with what they described as a long, shiny tube. And it was like pointing at both of the men in like a threatening manner, or seemed to be.
Now, doesn't like that tube of light, like he said, the tube with a light on the end. Was it the Zamfretta incident where one kind of had something like that? Like some sort of flashlight? Because I remember
it was the Russia one. It was the one in Russia.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes, where the orb came down in the city. Because this is like the ship and everything is very similar. I was like, okay, there's some parallels here. Obviously, the creatures in the Russian ones would have broken these guys in half. They were not little or cute.
Yeah, the Russian ones were giant, giant one-eyed robots. Like, this was like, these little dudes are...
but like the craft, the description of the craft and this weapon that they used... like very similar.
So they said that once this creature started brandishing this object at them, they said they suddenly felt like a vibration that seemed to encompass like both of their bodies. And they were both Jose and Gustavo were both rendered paralyzed. They couldn't move like from where they were standing. And then as they were standing there, the creatures like got back into the craft and then just what they watched. They all they could do was watch the sphere rise up and then rise up into the air and like keep going until it just vanished out of sight.
Yeah, they just got their ass beat. They're looking at each other like, "What the fuck?"
I just imagine like there's the one like sit like the one with the stick was like sitting in the car like or sitting in the ship, and then the other one like flipped over there like, "Holy fuck, Jerry's getting into it. Some of these fucking earthlings, man. We need to." He's like, "Oh fuck, Jerry again. That's, God damn it, motherfucker."
That's exactly what happened. That's 100%, dude.
He comes out with the fucking pipe. He's like, "God damn it.
Fuck off. get back,
Jerry." Get in the goddamn ship right the fuck now. tired of your shit. We just came in here to get some dirt. And you can't over here. Like, so like Jose and Ponce, like apparently they were within running distance of the local like traffic office. So they booked it. He ran on foot. They didn't even bother getting it back in the fucking car. They just got it. He just like hoofed it and ran. But he also left like Gustavo there. Like he didn't
Gustavo was like a little fucked up. Like he got hurt. He got fucking absolutely rocked. And part of me, when we hear about some of his injuries later, when they got paralyzed, I wonder if there's a little missing time where these things just tuned him up. You know what I mean?
Like just getting some extra shots.
Oh, did you? Think you're so big and bad.
Farted in their mouth too a couple times.
With most of your primarily smooth and hairless skin. Think you're so big. Think you're so bad. So yeah, and but yeah, like I just well then I guess like Jose like
Rocky would piece up a hanging meat.
I guess Jose just like left him there. Maybe he thought like, you know, go get medical attention or something, and you know, but got there. But Gustavo managed to make it to the traffic office as well, like minutes later, following Jose. And both of the men like described their experience to the officers who were on duty at the time.
It took them like, a while to calm down. Like they were both shooken, like they needed water, like they were like distraught.
It seems like the whole event lasted about like 30 minutes, something like, or at least to get from there. It could have been like, you know, it could have been 17, 18 or 20 minutes or something to take them to run to the traffic office. I'm not sure how long it took, but they came in.
Apparently it was like two or three blocks.
So away. It's like, so the event apparently occurred at like 2 a.m. and then 2:30 a.m. is when they entered into the police office where, you know, to tell the officers about their story, their experience.
The cops first thought, they look at these sweaty dudes running in like, oh, great.
2:30 in the morning. Like, oh, great. Like, what have these guys been drinking?
Bars just closed. And to be honest, my first thought listening to this, I was like, does that not sound like a drunk escapade? Like, I'm going to get it.
Big time.
I'm going to get it.
I can get the drunk tank warmed up.
Right? Like that's 100% a drunk escapade. So that was my first thought. So when it's reported that the cops thought that right away, I was like, okay, all right. And they're like, and no, these guys are like straight shooters, always on work, like always to work on time at the you know, everyone vouched for them basically being like, no, these guys are good guys. They wouldn't bullshit this kind of thing.
So, their kind of excitable state, and then also kind of the details, like the amount of details that they described from their experience, kind of convinced that the police that they had seen something had happened to these men. Plus, you know, that on top of the injuries that the Gustavo suffered while they were, you know, struggling with these creatures, is probably kind of, you know, sold them on being like, okay, well, yeah, these guys definitely saw something, but as far as I could tell, like an investigation, as far as it went, like they couldn't really find any evidence.
They were how tall?
He's like
3 feet.
Yeah.
Here's some artist descriptions of them.
Yeah. So I mean, there's lots of couple art, like little hairy dwarves.
That's an Ewok.
Yeah.
In the middle for sure.
Like it's just. Now,
One of the other things is like there was actually like quite a bit of like reports of people like hearing various like loud explosions around that time, kind of reporting that. One person down the road, just like a block or two away, reported hearing screaming, like really like fearful screaming. And that night, so it's like people have been like, the screaming was most likely Gonzalez and Jose. But there is another report that I thought was interesting. And there's a report that there was actually someone else on the road that night. And this person was, now it's tough. And I'm going to preface this with, I'm sure there's stuff lost in translation, but it's either like some sort of doctor or nurse in the area was driving the road after a shift. And they had actually pulled up behind, saw the light, saw these men with these things, and he just turned, didn't help them. And he went right to the police, and he was reporting it. He was like, hey, there's some fucking crazy shit going down the road. And then not 5 minutes later, once he's reporting it, these two guys come flying in. The other thing is, they go out to the scene. Obviously, there's nothing left behind, right? There's no ship. There's no markings or stuff. But the truck's dead, right? Like, the truck's dead. The ignition's flipped to the ons. Like, it should be running, and it's dead. Like, it's just not running anymore. And they're like, okay, well, it's a little weird. Truck just died. Like, okay, that kind of lends some, you know, credibility to this. Is this the first fist fight with aliens?
Is it? I was 1954, so I mean,
it's got to be right in the running then, of 54,
and recorded, like as far as modern UFO lore goes, I would say this is probably the first. This could very possibly be the very first fist fight with aliens.
Yeah, so like sober Braden is never grabbing one of those things without some sort of blanket or something, like. It's just too dangerous. Like, you need a towel or something. Drunk Braden? Different story. That's why I, like, really leaned into. Yeah, but, like, Gonzalez later, like, when he gets to the police station, too, like, his whole, like, left side is, like, severely, severely bruised.
Like
we're talking,
almost
like
the almost, like, broken ribs.
Yeah, he had to go get checked out to make sure he didn't have, he could barely breathe. And it's, like that, one of the descriptions I read was, like, you know that deep, deep yellow bruise you get sometimes, mm-hmm. where it's like so deep in and it's so tender? His whole like left side was like that.
Your bone is bruised.
Right? So whatever this thing, when it hit him and he bounced off the concrete, like that's kind of why the extensive bruising to his left side, it just makes me think that, you know, I guess he took a pretty good hit from this thing. It bounced off the road a couple times. But when they froze him, I still in my head, like this one that he was tussling with, just like went at him a little bit, right? Like some just hammer fists, right? Or the other one came and beat him with the club a little bit, right? A
couple extra shots.
And he doesn't feel it.
I didn't start this, but I'll fucking finish it.
Yeah, right? But then you think they leave and he all of a sudden like comes unfrozen, but he doesn't really remember. Oh, he just feels the pain. He's like, oh, what the fuck? Right? I can't walk. I can't stand. Because that makes sense where Jose takes off and he's just like, he can't even move right away. He's probably winded and hurt from what it like yeah. from this event. Right?
Or just like, yeah, probably bouncing off the asphalt. That thing, like, you know, if that thing whipped out of his arms, like they're talking, like it just like snapped out, you know, and then it kind of shoved him down to the ground or whatever. Yeah, probably.
Dude, that's a powerful shove.
Yeah.
That's a scary thought that there's these 3 foot aliens that just like, they're that powerful. The other just thing with it that made me think is it did because of the description of the ship and the weapon. I did give me thoughts when I was thinking about it that like, okay, I've kind of heard this description of these two things before. Now I wonder if these are like, if they're, you know, you always hear in the circles and stuff that like, you know, at some point we'll ascend to like whatever the Galactic Federation or, you know, whatever group of species are out there. Once we become advanced enough, we'll ascend into their ranks. Part of me thought that maybe these like weapons that they're using, these sticks and these ships are like Federation issue. You know what I mean? Like, doesn't matter who you are, what you look like. These are the standard issue ships and your standard issue. Don't kill the local weapons. You know what I mean? Like you can freeze them.
Non-lethal weaponry, whatever.
Right. Because like you think like let's be real.
It's like, They freeze the guy. It's like, and it's like, oh, I'm just gonna, it's like, you can't kill him. Well, I'm not gonna kill him, but he's gonna wish dead.
Like, well, exactly. Because, like, I'm saying right now, the three of us are on a road trip, and Zell has a gun, and we get out of the car and we get attacked by two dogs. Wild dogs that just start fairly attacking us. Dan, you're collecting desert gravel and run back in the ship. Zell's coming out shooting. You know what I mean? Like, he's shooting. So it would make sense.
Self-defense at that point.
Yeah. If there's some sort of Galactic Federation and they don't want, they're like, hey, we don't want, you know, you can't, it's non-interference, people, right? Like, and in the case that you have a run-in, use these non-lethal options. Don't kill.
Yeah, just freeze them and then run away. Like, yeah, it makes sense. Like, you'd want something like that. Like, that just doesn't, I mean, it doesn't do, it's just non-lethal. It doesn't really mess with them. It just kind of like freezes them in place for a while, and then it doesn't do any like permanent damage. Yeah, I would assume, like, if you're explorers of some type,
it seems like you're some scientist or explorer with a mandate, right? And you're like, you can't kill. Cause like, why wouldn't this thing grabbed them? You think they would have just boom, boom, done, disintegrated, right? that would have been that's why I'm human, right? That's why we're never going to ascend to the Galactic, because my stupid ape brain thinks like that.
That's where our brains have stopped.
It's because we're the pinnacle. It's the best.
It's all there is. All there needs
but
to
yeah,
be.
While that might have been the first violent confrontation with the aliens, it seems like it wasn't the last, because we have a little bit of a more modern take on the
we're gonna fast forward a little bit to the next fist fight. Oh, but yeah. Before then, we're gonna take a short break, grab a beer, and we're gonna be right back.
Woo!
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
We're back.
Are we fighting next?
Yeah. So now, like, now we know it does happen. People get in tussles. I mean, listen.
They do.
Different species and stuff. Not everyone's going to get along. And sometimes.
There's maybe a little alcohol involved.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. We've talked about it before, about being, you know, humans having this, perhaps maybe it is our innate sense and our, like, proclivity for violence. It seems to be... you know, one of our most dominant traits as the human species. And, you know, according to Russ Kellett, 58 from Filey, North Yorks, UK, it is something that is highly desirable in the soldiery of the intergalactic war that we are apparently involved in.
Russ. Old Russ.
So Russ Kellett is a UFO... self-titled UFO investigator at this point. I think he's also a retired healthcare worker. And he made claims like back in 2020 about being abducted over 60 times during his lifetime.
Wow.
And during these abductions, he was subjected to various training regimens and also a some sort of injection or of some type of serum, which turned him into a super soldier in order to fight for the aliens, which had apparently abducted him, I think the first time he said was when he was a teenager, actually. These aliens that he described as 15-foot tall alien men that had a strong resemblance to Dracula, since they had very sharp teeth, is what he compared him to. And these creatures set him on the path to becoming a intergalactic super soldier, where he fought in a number of battles on both on Earth and in outer space and other planets.
Now,
fighting the Dragos.
The Dragos, yeah. And Russ claimed that they would make him deep throat some sort of tube. And then he would swallow some foreign substance. And as long as he didn't spit it up, he would turn into a super soldier.
Yes, along with the super soldier serum.
No!
Russ! He describes the experience of being like strapped down into what he said like was like a dentistry, a dentistry chair is what he describes. And like they perform this procedure on him of in a couple of interviews, like he talks about like there's some kind of injection mechanism like on his back, like on the back of his neck was placed there along with the tube that was shoved down his throat.
Yeah, And now when I think of like super soldiers, right?
I think of
Kurt Russell from the movie Soldier. Yeah. Right? Or what's the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie with the super soldiers?
Universal Soldier.
Universal
Soldier. With him and Ivan Drago, Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah. Wasn't Goldberg in one of the super soldier movies?
He was. He's
number
in
three, I think, or two. Yeah. But like Universal Soldier, these are like train, like, you know, this is, oh yeah, that's a good photo. Hold on, pull this one up. You know, like this is what you expect, right? Like, yeah, look at him in there. Don't look at those tomato, the 34% tomato meter, 46%. This movie was awesome.
No, this is a great movie.
Right? Now, so when you're thinking like, you're scanner. Like, okay, yeah, you're like, okay, super soldier, right? All I got to do is deep throat this tube, swallow all the super soldier goodness, and I'm going to look like Kurt Russell or Jean-Claude Van Damme, because you're getting turned into a super soldier, or Dolph Lundgren. Now, I think I have a picture of Russ. And now, mind you, he's retired now.
He's
right?
retired. He's a retired super soldier now. So, I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He's let himself go just a little bit, but
you know, he can't. I mean, you can't be expected to keep up.
He probably still lifts quite a bit.
Physique
probably lifts a lot
at that point. You know,
forget the triple chin and the slightly donut pear shaped physique. I think he could still rip some stuff.
And it looks like he has Canva premium membership.
Oh yeah, I know that exact text. You've used it on an episode.
Yeah. I have used it on an episode. But Russ claims like he was doing the bidding. He was in the trenches.
Yeah. For the past 30 years, he's been part of their army and he's been fighting their opposing race, which Zell mentioned earlier, the Dragos, not the Ivan Dragos, not an army of Dolph Lundgren's.
That's all it is, Dan, just clones.
Clone army of Dolph. We're doomed. he's got a chemical engineering degree and he's a fucking beast. How are we supposed to beat him? But the Dragos are some type of reptilian race. Russ shows. Russ is also an accomplished artist when it comes to showing depictions of his. I didn't want to sell him short. Like, I mean. he has drawn a lot of pictures.
Let's just say that. He's drawn a lot of pictures.
he has drawn a lot of pictures from memory of his of the alien races that he has encountered during his time as an alien super soldier.
And if his memory is to believe, if he's very artistically inclined, that means his memory is shit because this picture is trash.
Yeah, so those
not that
those,
bad.
Those would be the Draugos. He said that these were tall, scaly reptilian creatures, you know, with heads very, very.
Is that a creature from homestarrunner.com? It might be.
And so he also said that, like, he would be gone. So since the past 30 years, he's been in out fighting these wars. He's saying that sometimes he would be gone for long periods of times. But that's because there's some type of time dilation effect that he describes, that kind of like 4 hours here is 4 years on some of these planets or when he would travel, I think.
Well, and he would say, he said that he would suffer from extreme fatigue. So when he would return, he'd be like, yeah, I was always tired. Like, no wonder my coworkers would just be like, you're so tired.
Yeah, well, I was so tired at my day job. Because I was actually gone
for 4 years. But I'm like, wouldn't you have aged 4 years? Like, if I don't think he quite understands how time.
The serum.
Super soldier.
The serum is down the aging. It's regressing his age, actually. Because in my head,
I was like, I don't think he quite understands how time dilation works. 4 hours here, if he leaves and he's experienced time for 4 years, he would age 4 years. Yes, he would. So when he came back, everyone would be like, just age. Damn, you look older and grizzled.
And so, yeah. And Russ says he's not. So he has fought battles, according to him. He has fought battles in the UK, Europe, South America, and then also in different territories in space, fighting different, not just the Draugos, but also other races of aliens. So he says there's a multitude of races, different races.
A lot of competition.
And in different conflicts at times. And he said he's fought in underground bases and undersea bases here on Earth. And he has fought in some of these things, you know, kind of, I think he described one of them as kind of being like some sort of special ops, type of deal where they were going in and kind of like either like us, like straight up assassinations of some sort, like VIP elimination missions.
Just Drago politicians.
Yeah.
I think that's the script of Fast 10.
So he says that every time that he's been abducted, he says that he's pulled into like a type of like a checkered room that he described, similar to like a chessboard. So like white and black checkered space that he's pulled into, and that in the center of this room there would be a glass ball that he said that would be able to transport you through time and space and take you anywhere in the known universe, I guess, to accomplish his mission. And he was saying that, like, you know, when he's pulled on board and he is, you know, to the super soldier treatment, like, he's also, what they would do is they would, he said there was more
body
than,
and
he wasn't the only one. Like, he said there were like hundreds, like an entire like barracks full of other humans pulled on board during these training sessions. And they would have like, either like they have like little like kind of tactical overlay visors plus like a giant like hologram arena that would display like various battle tactics and strategies that were kind of like just like, I guess, like osmosis into their brains, like I guess like conditioned into their brains about how to perpetrate like a war, like
war
intergalactic war. intergalactic war crimes. And so, yeah, so that is one of the things. And he said, like, in order to, you know, combat the Draugos, apparently the Draugos are only vulnerable to sonics-based weaponry. He said that they were
sound only.
They were issued these rifles. Like, they were issued these rifles or machine rifles of some type or whatever, that he said that they had magazines, much like our like an automatic rifle here on Earth, but it was more like a battery pack. And he said they would put the battery pack on, and that these guns like shot, they operated on some type of sound principle, and that they would implode the aliens. So then they would shoot them, and that was the only way to defeat the Draugos, to do damage to them, is some type of the sonic based weaponry. And then eventually they got upgraded. I guess, you know, he found the secret cache that upgraded it to have an underslung laser cannon on the bottom, which would help them destroy artillery pieces of some sort. He just said artillery, not wasn't really specific about what type of artillery, but that's the kind of gear that you're issued when you are on the intergalactic Dracula payroll, I guess.
And if you're listening to this and you're like, you know, why this guy? Couldn't it have been me? Well, you got to ask yourself, are you really tired?
Do you find yourself tired at different parts of the day?
Yeah. Are you at work and you eat your lunch and then after you're like, God damn, I could have a nap. You might be an intergalactic super soldier because it's not just Russ Kellett. Russ Kellett has seen tons of other, he's obviously breaching NDAs by coming out and saying this, but he's revealed identities of other super soldiers.
He has. He has.
Maybe he's changed one of the real names.
Yeah, such as hit singer of Blurred Lines, Robbie Williams.
That's Robbie Williams.
Isn't it Robbie Williams?
That does Blurred Lines? No.
Yeah, doesn't he sing that? What
is
he that sing?
Timbaland and someone?
That's no. Blurred Lines is the other guy.
Robbie Williams.
Oh, Pharrell. Pharrell and...
Robbie Williams.
Robin Thicke.
All right. Well, you don't know he's not a super soldier.
Robin Thicke is not a super soldier. Robbie Williams is UK pop singer star.
What does he sing?
Robbie Williams. I'm not really familiar with his catalog. I had to look him up.
Angels.
One of the first times according to Russ Kellett, one of the first times that he was abducted, he saw British singer-songwriter Robbie Williams aboard the ship. So he's also in the Super Soldier program. Robbie Williams has not confirmed this from any of my knowledge or any of the stuff that I've seen. He cannot confirm nor deny.
But could it be possible? Could it be possible if this is to be believed, right? And this guy is a fucking kill machine. Don't fuck with him. And he is... You know, he's special. And when everyone else gets their minds wiped, it just like didn't work on him.
Didn't stick.
It didn't stick. He's too super. He guzzled back too much of the super serum.
Just open up his throat and let it flow. Yeah. Just kind of, yeah.
Yeah. All the aliens, they call him the throat goat for how much he takes.
Yeah, that term is intergalactic. Everybody knows what that means.
He's like, oh my God, the throat goat's on the battlefield. He's got more super serum than anyone.
That guy could guzzle down that super serum like nobody's business.
Yeah.
Three times as much as your average man.
Sometimes he'll take three tubes at a time, man.
There is no limit to how much serum he can take. Yeah. The cower in fear.
Most people are choking and spitting it up. Not Russ.
Gagging and spitting it up.
Russ throat goat killing.
nothing faces him.
Oh, fuck.
Why? We're saying this adds up if he's guzzled back more super serum.
I guess I could check
out. There's a linear line of how much super serum you can ingest and how strong you become.
Yeah.
It never fades out. It just keeps going.
Yeah. Your protein.
I don't think that's ever been said. I've never heard throat goat before. That's
I've heard it before.
I never heard that.
That's what when people talk about Nancy Reagan.
They call Nancy Reagan.
It's like an American political joke I don't really get, but I know the name Reagan.
Yeah, Nancy Reagan. Apparently she was
the throat goat, it sounds like.
That's you can look it up. It's a history.
I believe you. I don't fucking know anything.
I don't know if it's actually been confirmed, but there's a lot of people who are like, yeah.
Just Google Nancy Reagan throat goat on my work computer.
Nancy Reagan throat goat.
I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Why are people tweeting that Nancy Reagan was the throat goat?
there was a lot of it was going around at one time and it was just like, I thought it was like, oh, she was very popular.
If you look at her now, I mean, I don't know. She's like 80 years old. She doesn't look that bad.
Russ Kellett is the throat goat.
Out there saving us from from interstellar.
They're going to have a competition. No, there's only one way to settle it. is she still alive, this girl?
A super serum guzzle Nancy off? Reagan?
Yeah.
I don't think Nancy Reagan's still alive.
I have no idea.
I think so. I mean, Ronald Reagan's dead. Been for a while. The list of people who have combated with aliens is kind of short, like we said already. And so you have like Russ Kellett out there, but you also have this one controversial figure named Jonathan Reed.
Russ Kellett was non-controversial. He's non-controversial. He's the throat goat. So.
I mean, there's no doubt about the validity of his claims.
Everyone else, though.
Yeah. But Jonathan Reed, so we have to rewind a little bit. Jonathan Reed, in October of 1996, he claimed that he had an encounter while hiking in the Cascade Mountains near Seattle, Washington.
That's not far from us. You can consider us the Cascadia region, actually, the northern tip.
Yeah.
So now, according to Reed, he was hiking with his dog at the time, and they stumbled onto what appeared to be like a blue beam of light that kind of came out of the forest, and then his dog just disappeared, vaporized, like gone. And then shortly after that, because I mean, you know, Reed is at that point, understandably, probably shocked. And terrorized or terrified, like, what happened to my dog? What is happening? He remembers that shortly after that, he saw this strange non-human entity emerge out of the woods. And he described this alien as being a 4 foot tall, grayish skin, large black eyes, and the elongated limbs. Listen, so you're very archetypal gray.
I'm telling you right now, if I'm in the woods on any kind of hike, and an extraterrestrial comes out of the woods and is looking at me, if I'm not frozen within the first 5 seconds, I'm either hightailing it the other way, or I'm going, he's got no technology, it's on. Like, it's fight or flight here. Like, there's only two options there. Like, you're like, my first thought would be like, oh, I'm fucked, he's going to zap me. And then a second I wasn't zapped, it's go time.
So Reed said that it's either he snuck up on this creature, managed to catch it unawares, or that, you know, he was defending himself from this creature. Either was trying to assault him or something like that. And he said that
his story doesn't add up. If he snuck up on it, it doesn't sound like it was assaulting. Yeah, I had to sneak up on it to prevent assault on myself.
But he says that he managed to defend himself from the creature by using a large tree branch and then rendering it unconscious with this, you know, by attacking it with the large tree branch. Yeah, so just like, you know, baseball it swinging it. Yeah. Baseball swinging in his big, big gray dome and putting it down. Now Reed, probably realizing that, you know, something, you know, he had something here, you know, whether it's unconscious or he probably wasn't even sure at that point. I'm not even sure how you would tell if an alien was unconscious or dead at this point, whether, you know, breathe like we do.
Keep poking them until they move.
Yeah. Right. Well, I feel like you would have a good idea. Like, you know, and if you were clubbing something in the head and then you'd be like, you know,
what if they don't breathe? What if they're natural?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if they don't breathe like we do, like, what if it breathes through its skin? Like, you wouldn't be able to tell, like, if it's breathing or whatever.
But, yeah, it just, you know, oxygen or whatever type of gas just passes through them and they absorb it. They don't have to do anything. Right.
But Reed judged that it was incapacitated.
It looked dead.
Whether it was dead or whether it was alive, he was, you know, but he judged that, you know, the best course of action was to wrap the alien's body in a sheet and then take it back to his house and put it in a freezer, you know, the Rick Dyer approach, you
know. Of course.
So now there is a YouTube video that was circulating at the time that Reed said that he put out, that he took this video documenting the actual encounter with this alien. So he said, like, he took photographs and videos in order to show the public of this alien. So there is a YouTube video of him actually, like, kind of examining the alien while it's like he's got it in the sheet, like he's got it, and he's kind of like, I mean, you can Google it. You can Google Jonathan Reed YouTube alien video, and it is like, it is him like kind of turning it and whatever, and it looks very much like one of the aliens from like like a very typical alien, like movie alien, like one of the it's probably like one of the ball sack aliens from fucking Fire in the Sky, like one of those ones. Yeah. That looks like one of those. But he is moving it around and he's saying like, yeah, this is it. This is the alien that I caught, that, you know, that whatever. It's like a couple minutes long of him just kind of, he has it inside like what looks like one of those space blankets, one of those like foil blankets, you know, emergency blanket, and he's got wrapped inside there, and he's kind of moving it around, and you know, it's showing it and showing it off. And then he claimed that this alien, like after this, like, you know, giving it the cursory examination, that it actually revived at some point, but then disintegrated into glowing crystalline substance afterwards. Like, so it died, I guess. It self-destructed, and it just, disintegrated.
Now, this, when did this, in 96?
This is 96.
Fuck, man. Okay, this case, for some reason, I thought it was the same one, but it's 100% not. There's definitely another case strikingly similar to this. I bet I can find it. It's, I remember it might even be pre-podcast that I heard about this. And it's like old. And there was like a Chinese guy, and he...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
And like he said he fought an alien, and like he squared up with it in his house, dusted it. This thing tried to take off, hit his electric fence, died.
Right.
Once it touched the electric fence, tried to leap it. He tried to put its hand on, leap over the electric fence, dead. He drags it back to his freezer, puts it in, and he starts calling, hey, yo, I got this alien. The Chinese government was just like, they just came in, they were like, you're fake, and you're in jail now. I remember there was like pictures in the pictures. He like had to admit, like he came out and admit it was like fucking, I can't remember what he made it. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. Alien farmer.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. The one that like made it out of something weird.
Yes, I found it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, hold on.
Because I think I actually looked this one up, I think, for one of our podcast things. I never used it. that one.
Yeah, that's what he said.
That's the one.
And
what's with this right there? Yeah, what's that?
That's the old
between the legs, there's some type of...
Hold on, I don't need to... Look at those eyes. Ooh.
They look like the eyeball alien from Rick and Morty. There. You have 8 eye holes. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. Look at that. Like, what is that's going on in the crotch region there?
I don't know what that is.
So you know the what Jonathan Reed one looks better.
I have a sneaking suspicion that prior to this thing being an alien, it may have been a sex toy.
Some type of blow up doll of some kind.
Look, there's a zoom in of the
of
the crotch. Mm-hmm.
What else could you say that looks like?
Right.
A weird, very weird vajayjay. That's what it looks like.
It's like someone was making their best attempt and then they're like, this thing didn't turn out. What can I do with this?
That's an alien now. Look what I found. Farmer arrested after claiming an alien.
You know what happened?
In his freezer.
His wife caught him with it. And she's like, what is this? And he's like, you'll never believe. And she's like, well, you better start talking. See, he ended up having to go to jail because he had to lie till he died. He's like,
I'll take it right to the grave.
Yeah.
He fucked up.
Rather go to jail than live in the house with... My wife is going to be fucking staring. It might kill me.
Yeah.
I'm safer in jail. Take me away, officers.
I can't remember exactly how much time he had, but I bet a substantial amount. This is China.
Yeah, I mean, those are mostly interesting cases that you have of people actually getting in violent physical altercations.
Close range fights.
With aliens. Yeah, close quarters combat. With
not shooting guns, no, getting right down dirty with the aliens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we got a couple more good ones on our Patreon. If you head to patreon.com/alientheorists,
we do.
.com or the support tab on our website, you can go to Supercast, wherever you want to support us. We got a couple more, and one of those is Stardust Ranch. Yeah, we get into it with this.
Yeah, there's probably an update out there. I wonder if they were trying to sell the ranch last time, and I don't know if they actually managed to sell
buddy,
it.
Buddy, we should buy the ranch, and we can make a show called Stardust Ranch, and it airs Secrets right after Ranch. Secrets of Stardust Ranch, and it airs right after Skinwalker Ranch. The only difference is, instead of going and collecting data, it's just us in tack gear.
Looking samurai sword, trying to training, kill aliens.
Just like blade outfits with straight and stuff. Yeah.
Blade Trinity.
Dusters and bulletproof vests. Our
head of security's name is Blade, and he looks exactly like Blade. It might be Wesley Snipes.
He might actually be. I think Wesley Snipes would do it.
At this point, he might do our movie.
Yeah.
TV show. I think we can afford him too at this point. Yeah. And here's head of security, Blade.
I think we can sign him to 10 seasons right off the bat.
He's dressed in his full outfit. He's got a sword.
We could probably say, hey, Wesley, you can come out. You can do whatever you want. You can make up your own lines. We don't care.
You can say whatever you want. We don't care. Like,
no. Yeah. We should say, we tell him, be like, it's in your contract that 80% of your lines are written by you.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
Because then it puts the onus on him, right? And then you do what he wants. Yeah.
That show would sell instantly.
Yeah.
Totally.
Okay, what's Buddy's name?
Which one?
The producer we did wanted us to pitch the show.
John. Producer John.
John.
Never texted us back. We finally got the idea, John.
Get Wesley Snipes on the phone.
Need right Wesley now. Snipes. Buddy,
all we need. He's the last part. He's the last piece of the puzzle, John. That's it.
Yeah.
We got it.
Secrets of Stardust Ranch with us and head of security, Blade.
AKA Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes.
Oh, no. Not, just
we
Blade.
Never say, even in the credits, it would say security, Blade, himself.
Yeah.
Playing himself, Blade.
Yeah.
Well, Wesley Snipes probably has some...
Would not get along.
Yeah, it would be a short season. I could hide.
Oh, it's so funny. That'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah, we couldn't use Wesley Snipes because the name Wesley Snipes, because he probably owes the government still a lot of money, I think, for us.
I think so.
So you have to play an alternate character. We have to pay him through crypto. We have to have no paper paper trail.
Dude, it's taxes are no shit, man. And you know what's funny about taxes? Some motherfuckers always trying to skate uphill.
There's only a few things in the world that you actually just have to do. And that's one of them, unfortunately. Especially when you make a lot of money.
Yeah.
I don't need to pay taxes. I make millions of dollars. I don't need to pay taxes. Wesley, you need to pay your taxes.
It's not how it works.
Not quite how it works. You actually owe us $9 million.
But you know what you don't have to pay $1 million for? Our Patreon.
Yeah. Get on it.
Patreon has not gone up with inflation. Patreon is the same price it has always been.
See?
Yeah.
Great value. It never goes up with inflation.
We're like Costco hot dogs, man.
Yeah.
We will not going to budge on that $1 hot dog.
Yeah.
No, I take it back. We made Zelda budge.
The raisin, when it, he said he'd slit my throat. Just like the Costco CEO.
I'll kill you if we raise the Patreon. Any support us on Patreon, you get early access, ad-free, all the bonus stuff we do, everything we've
access
ever done.
Access to our super nice Discord.
The Discord. The early access to the streams. All the other good shit. We really appreciate it. This week's newest supporters, we have Drew the Defiler.
Good name.
Nick Kaur. Hemdaz. Gage Olson. Yash Chandel. And another year pledge by the only theorist of the year, the Burmeister.
Woo!
Thank you very much for supporting the show.
Oh, wait. And before we go, shit. You might have already heard an ad for this.
Probably not.
Probably not. But you might be just about hearing it. Yeah, ATT live coming at you. Space News time, old Cosmic Channels time. First one's going to be May 28th, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're going to announce the next couple. Come join us live. Come grab a beer. Free for all on YouTube. Look up Alien Theories Theorizing, Big Theory Productions. Like, subscribe, get those notifications. Come join us. We're going to be shooting the shit, talking aliens. We've got segments. It's going to be fun.
We got the lines open. Lines going to be open.
Lines open, quite AMAs.
Chat's open.
You know, yeah. Chat's open. It's going to be a good time. So hopefully, we'll see you there, May 28th.
Brayden's completely open.
Yep, open to super soldiers. Wow. Yeah,
everything.
Yeah. Watch Brayden take his. Watch Brayden guzzle as much super soldier serum.
Hey, listen. No one would guzzle more secret serum than me. Out of the last three.
You're probably not wrong.
I already look like I'm on it.
I'm on. Is he?
Right? Or did you see? Did you see? What's his name? Russ. We are like twins.
Oh, Kurt Russell?
No.
Russ Kellett?
Kellett.
Oh, Russ Kellett. I was like, Kurt Russell? No.
You and Kurt Russell, absolutely not.
I'm like, you're being very generous.
I'm not talking about Hollywood's depiction of a super soldier. I'm talking about actual intergalactic
super soldiers. Oh, the real soldier. This is not, anyways. This is not what you think peak performance looks like, but it is. Yeah.
This is the body's peak performance.
As we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies. Peace.
Peace. See you in after hours.